In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Her name was Mary, and she was a most unpleasant old woman. Her daughter called the church, requesting pastoral care for Mary, who lived alone. Decades before, she'd been a devoted and busy member of the altar guild, willing to take a toothbrush and scrub anything the rector told her to scrub. She was still on the books of the parish, but nobody had seen her at a worship service in years, except for at the funeral of her husband, which had been just a few years previously. Now, her daughter was concerned and asked, would someone from the church please pay her mother a visit? Well, I called her by phone several times, and each time she was polite but curt, putting off suggestions of visits in an intriguing British accent, which only made me more determined. Eventually, I gathered my courage, and unannounced and uninvited, I went to her modest house. It wasn't far from the church, and I knocked on the door. She was surprised, but she let me in. The house was packed with stuff, every inch covered with old newspapers, bags of clothing, books, boxes, magazines, who knows what. There was barely a path wide enough to walk from the front door to two armchairs near her kitchen, where we sat and visited. There was a sour smell in the house. She received communion. It was evident that she wasn't very well, and she was bitter. She was so lonely, all alone. She was angry with the whole world. She was estranged from her son. Now, her daughter, who was a law enforcement officer, had refused to be driven away. She had nothing good to say about anyone, and her friends had long since deserted her. It wasn't easy, but I visited a couple more times. I listened to her litany of resentment. Not long after, Mary collapsed and was taken to hospital. She was diagnosed with the onset of dementia and with pancreatic cancer. She died without ever knowing her diagnosis and without ever being reconciled, without ever making her confession. It was a very sad death. I preached at her Requiem Eucharist, and I felt compelled to tell the truth, to speak openly about her unhappiness, so that her children and her grandchildren might hear that she was now at last at peace, safe in the arms of a God who had loved her always and who loved her still, in spite of herself. Jesus tells us to love our enemies, to love those who persecute us, those who abuse us and rob us, who sue or con us. He asks us to love those who seem most unlovable. And it's a lot to ask. But it's one of the things that distinguishes us as Christians in the world. Some people are hard to love. What about the family member who never outgrows sibling rivalry, even into late middle age? What about the neighbor who complains every time a ball goes over the fence? What about the teenager who makes a habit of dropping their dirty clothes just anywhere around the house? Sometimes people make it hard to love them, and that's when we need to be Christians. Any time we're tempted to ask, why should I help or love or give to this person? What has he or she done to deserve it? Any time we ask that question, we need to remember what Jesus said. And we need to remind ourselves that we love not because of who the other is, but because of who we are. People redeemed by the unconditional love of God. Jesus asks us to turn the other cheek, to hand over the shirt off our back, to go the extra mile. Now, turning the other cheek to an abuser means declining to play the abuser's game, refusing to be hooked into destructive behavior, maintaining our integrity as a beloved child of God, no matter how badly someone else behaves. I'm not talking about being a doormat. Jesus was never a doormat. I'm talking about doing the most loving thing for the other. And that might mean taking an action which would expose the other's malice to the light of day. Anyone can love somebody who's soft-hearted and kind and generous. We all know people who are easy to love. It doesn't take any special effort to love the people who are good to you. And we're all capable of making a special effort to be lovable, at least some of the time. Jesus takes the law of Moses, the law that Leviticus describes as being righteous and holy and just, and he takes it further. He expands our understanding of God's love and invites us to live into that love, to claim it as our standard for living, to love our neighbors even when they are most unlovable. Might seem unfair or unbalanced to our justice-loving souls to be asked to do this, until we remember the times when we ourselves are less than lovable. And we listen to Jesus' words again in that context. He says we are the children of God. God is perfect. We belong to God. And so God shows us the way to love by loving us unconditionally, eternally, determinedly, in spite of ourselves. Even when we are resentful and bitter, when we resist love, when we hurt those we care for, when we forget what Jesus did for us. God loves us in all of our brokenness, as a parent loves the stubborn toddler or the rebellious teenager, loves us through our tantrums and our struggles for independence, loves us all the way to the cross and beyond, loves us to our true home in heaven and to the perfection that awaits our ultimate union with the one who created us, who redeemed us, and who sustains us through this world and into the next. Amen.